ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. ஜிஜ்ஞாசாதிகரணம் அதாதோ ப்ரஹ்ம ஜிஜ்ஞாசாம் ஜன்மாத்யதிகரணம் ஜன்மாத்யஸ்யயதஹ சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாதிகரணம் சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாத் சமன்வயாதிகரணம் தத்து சமன்வயாத். சாப்டர் 1 4th பாதா. ஆனுமானிக அதிகரணம். ஆனுமானிகம் அபி ஏகேஷாமிதி சேத் ந ஷரீர ரூபக விநியஸ்த க்ருஹீதேஹே தர்ஷயதி ச. We have been seeing the first sutra of the 4th பாதா of first chapter, the 107th Brahma Sutra. So in the last class, we were comparing the Sankhyas and Vedanta Darshanas and said Vedanta talks about the Chetana Karanavada, whereas the Sankhyas, they take to Achetana Karanavada, for which he wants to give Vedic support. So wherever there are words supporting him, he will quote them comfortably also. And one such support he takes is from Kathopanishad, mantras 1.3.10 and 1.3.11, first chapter, third section, 10th and 11th mantras. Indriyebhyah parahyartha artyebhyascha param manaha manasastu para buddhihi buddher atma mahan paraha and mahata param avyaktam avyaktat purusha paraha purushannam param kinchitsem sa kashta sa paragatihi. These two mantras we read in the last class also. And these are the two mantras where Purusha is revealed by applying the Saka Chandra Nyaya or Arundhati Darshana Nyaya. And we will see the meaning of the mantras briefly. The Upanishad starts with Indriya. Superior to the sense organs, the Indriyas are the sense objects. And from one angle, superior to sense organs are sense objects because they influence the sense organs by creating desires. Therefore, sense objects are more powerful than sense organs. And superior to sense objects is mind. And I also mentioned about this Artha Bhaga, the Brahmanam, Avrigadaranyaka Upanishad, Mantra 3.2.1 also, we mentioned it in the last class, where it was mentioned that superior to sense objects is the mind. And superior to mind is the intellect, buddhi, because mind is controlled by the buddhi. And superior to intellect is the total intellect, called the mahatattvam, the samashti buddhi, the total buddhi. Earlier, the under intellect is vashti buddhi, individual buddhi. This is total buddhi, mahat. And this portion only is relevant to us. And superior to mahat is avyaktam, the causal matter, prakriti. And superior to prakriti is Purusha. And beyond Purusha, there is nothing. That is the end. That is the highest goal. Mahat, prakriti, Purusha is the order. And here, the portion that we want to focus is Mahat, Avyaktam, Purushaha. And three words are common both to Vedanta and Sankhya Darshanas. So whether Veda talks about or Vedanta philosophy or Sankhya philosophy, their confusion might arise. There is a question, and we will refute Sankhya philosophy. There is a tug of war between Vedantins and Sankhya here. And we will concentrate on the word avyakta occurring in the Kathopanishad mantra that we just read. So according to Sankhya philosophy, avyakta means karana prapancha, the causal universe. In Veda also, the word avyaktam refers to Karana Prapancha, the causal universe. And we are going to say that the word avyakta is Karana Prapancha only. In Sankhya and Vedanta, Karana Prapancha means the world in potential form, in unmanifest form, in causal form, in dormant form. But meaning of Prapancha in Sankhya and Vedanta, they are different conceptually. Even though the words are same, but conceptually, there is a difference. In Sankhya, కారణ ప్రపంచ మీన్స్ అవ్యక్తం ఈజ్ రియల్ అండ్ ఈస్ అన్ ఇండిపెండెంట్ ఎంటిటీ. వేరాస్ ఇన్ వేదాంత ది కాసల్ యూనివర్స్ కారణ ప్రపంచ ఈజ్ బోత్ డిపెండెంట్ అండ్ అన్రియల్ ఆల్సో. ఇట్ ఈస్ పరతంత్రం మిథ్యాచ. ఇట్ ఈస్ మిథ్యా ఆల్సో, పరతంత్రం ఆల్సో. ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ ఇండిపెండెంట్. ఇన్ సాంఖ్య ఇట్ ఈస్ సత్యం అండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో ఇండిపెండెంట్. సో దిస్ ఈస్ ది జనరల్ డిఫరెన్స్. దిస్ ఈస్ లైక్ ది జనరల్ ఇంట్రొడక్షన్ ఫర్ దిస్ సూత్ర. నౌ లెట్ అస్ గో టు ది జనరల్ అనాలిసిస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ అధికరణ. ఫస్ట్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఇస్ ద పూర్వపక్ష ఆఫ్ దిస్ అధికరణం అండ్ ద సెకండ్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది అధికరణం ఈస్ ది సిద్ధాంత పార్ట్, వేదాంత పార్ట్. అండ్ ద పూర్వపక్షి సేస్ ద వేద యూసెస్ ద వర్డ్ అవ్యక్త ఇన్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ కారణ ప్రపంచ కాసల్ యూనివర్స్ విచ్ ఈస్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ సేమ్ యాజ్ సాంఖ్య ఫిలాసఫీ. సో దట్ మీన్స్ వేద సపోర్ట్ సాంఖ్య. బట్ సిద్ధాంతి సేస్ దట్ హిస్ క్లెయిమ్, పూర్వపక్షిస్ క్లెయిమ్, ది సాంఖ్యాస్ క్లెయిమ్ ఈస్ నాట్ కరెక్ట్. ద రియల్ ఆన్సర్ ఈస్ అవ్యక్త మీన్స్ కారణ ప్రపంచ అండ్ అకార్డింగ్ టు అస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ మిథ్యా అండ్ అన్రియల్. అకార్డింగ్ టు వేదాంతిన్స్ దిస్ కారణ ప్రపంచ ఈస్ మిథ్యా అండ్ అన్రియల్. ద రియల్ ఆన్సర్ ఈస్ గివెన్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్ ద థర్డ్ సూత్ర ఆఫ్ దిస్ అధికరణ. వి ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు సీ లేటర్. సో ఇన్ ది ఫస్ట్ టూ సూత్రాస్, ఫస్ట్ సూత్ర అండ్ సెకండ్ సూత్ర, హీ గివ్స్ ఎ మిస్చివస్ ఆన్సర్. సో ఇన్ కఠోపనిషత్ అవ్యక్త as described in the mantra that we just read 1.3.11, karana prapancha only it refers to. And Vyasacharya establishes avyakta as sthula shariram and not karana prapancha. Even though it was said there as karana prapancha, Vyasacharya, he establishes avyaktam to refer to the gross body, physical body. Actually we say it mischievous because in 1.3.11 the Kathopanishad mantra that we just read, avyakta refers to karana prapancha only. So it is just for teasing the sankhyas, he says, Vedavyasa says, avyakta means sthula shariram, only the physical body. And he gives a temporary answer with some difficulty though. How can avyakta refer to physical body? Avyakta means invisible and not perceptible to sense organs. Here, avyakta means sthula shariram. If you say, we know sthula shariram is perceptible. Therefore, how do you say that avyakta would mean sthula shariram, physical body? Then we go to the primary meaning and all. Its primary meaning is unmanifest. Avyakta means primary meaning is unmanifest. And by implication, avyakta now is taken to be sthula shariram by implication, even though primary meaning is it is unmanifest. So we have to take the implied meaning only here instead of the primary meaning. And the whole section supports our interpretation. That is where we have to see how you are going to bring the arguments. Now the next question is, how does this section support this meaning that we have to analyze? And before revealing the purusha, that is the step-by-step observation, the whole thing talks about spiritual journey and Kathopanishad talks about a chariot imagery. In the chariot imagery, six factors were introduced. Vishayaha is the sense objects that are comparable to the roads of the journey. And the physical body is compared to the chariot. Atmanam Ratinam Vinti, that sloka we already read, which travels. And sense organs are compared to the horses that drag the chariot. And the fourth factor is manaha, the mind that reins the control, the horses. The reins that control the horses, the mind. And the intellect is compared to the driver that holds the rein. And the jivatma is the traveler who sits behind in the chariot. These are the six factors. Now Vyasacharya says, in this spiritual journey also, the Upanishad talks about six things. What are those six things? Artha, Indriyam, Manaha, Buddhi, Avyakta, and Purushaha. So here also there are six factors. And in the chariot imagery also, there are six factors. So in both the concepts, there are sense objects, Indriyams, mind, Buddhi, and Purusha. And in both, in the chariot imagery, the Rathi, the charioteer, and here the Purusha, So all of them tally very well. So there are avyaktam in both. That is standing out in the spiritual journey. Now here shariram, the physical body, is there, and in the sankhyas avyaktam is there. So now if you equate, avyaktam is equal to shariram. This is the only argument we can take to prove that avyaktam is the body, physical body. But it will raise another question as to how the avyaktam can refer to physical body. For those questions, Vyasacharya answers in the next sutra only. Here it is said that avyaktam means shariram, the physical body. Otherwise, the imagery and teaching will not tally. So this is the general analysis of this first sutra. Now let us go to the word analysis. Now what is the sutra? Anumanikam api keshamiti chet na sharira rupaka vinyasta grihitehe darshayati cha. So anumanikam api, the sankhya pradhanam, which is the prakriti of sankhya is called pradhanam. So the sankhya pradhanam also is revealed in the mantras actually. Kesham means belonging to certain branches of the Vedas. Iti ched. If this is argued in this way, it is not so. Sharira rupaka vinyasta grihitehe. The physical body, sharira rupaka, physical body or sharira, introduced by the avyaktam in Kathopanishad 1.3.11 is, that's a supplied idea. This is the running meaning of this sutra, but we will see it in detail. Anumanikam, first word. That means the pradhanam of Sankhya philosophy. And why he uses the word anumana here? He uses the word anumana because in Sankhya philosophy, pradhanam or karana prapancha is known through inference only in Sankhya. So it is called anumanika. And in Vedanta, avyaktam or prakriti is known through shastra pramanam, not by anumanam, by shastra pramanam. So both of them talk about karana prapancha. Ours refers to shastra pramanam and his sankhyas refers to inferred entity. So anumanikam, that is sankhya pramana. And this was discussed also in the sutra, actually in 1.3.18, which we already saw. Itara paramarshat sa iti chete na asambhavad. In that sutra, we discussed this already. And the same word anumanam is used also to mean pradhanam in another sutra of the third pada, first chapter, third sutra, 1.3.3. Na anumanam ata shabdat. These sutras we have already seen. So both mean the sankhya pradhanam api. Api means here also. And not only your Brahman is revealed, but also my pradhanam also api is revealed. That is the argument. Not only your Brahman is revealed, my pradhanam, my prakriti is also revealed. And the next word is kesham shakayam. Shakayam, you have to supply. Kesham shakayam means in certain branches of Vedas. Actually, in Sanskrit, eka is a singular number. But in plural, it becomes certain. The same thing will become certain. When certain idea, certain particular thing, certain person. So when he says in some branches, means in some branches refers to the Kathopanishad mantras, iti chet. If it is said like that, it is not so. Then comes the next word, sharira rupasya vinyasta grihitehe. Shariram. Shariram here means the physical body. Rupakam means simile, analogy. And ratha rupakam, the chariot imagery. Vinyasta means is presented. And grihitehe means is mentioned. So the rupaka vinyastam introduced in the chariot imagery, actually it's adjective to shariram, the physical body, which is introduced in the chariot imagery. So this is how the words communicate our idea. Darshayati. Darshayati means Veda itself clarifies that through the chariot imagery, that avyaktam and shariram, they tally. This is what this sutra says. Now let's go to the next sutra. Because Adhikaranam has all these sutras, so we have to go through them. And next sutra is Sukshmam tu tat arhatvat. Sukshmam tu tat arhatvat. This is the second sutra, fourth section, first chapter, 108th Running Brahma Sutra. Here an objection to the first sutra that is refuted here. First, let us see the general analysis of the sutra. So the previous sutra has complicated the case. Hence we have the second sutra. Because we said avyakta refers to sthula sharira. And Vyasacharya says the word avyakta is body, physical body. Karana shariram in potential form. So the body is in unmanifest form is the literal meaning. Avyakta means the body in unmanifest form. The karana shariram is the literal meaning. But by implication, it refers to sthula sharira. Because sharira dvayasya karana matram is causal body, according to Tathagatam. So karana shariram, the in dormant form physical body is there in karana shariram. So he implies it is sthula shariram, physical body only. And karana shariram alone later becomes sthula shariram. So primary meaning is causal body. And by implication, it is the gross body, causal body, physical body. And cause can imply effect, that we always know. And further different examples are also given. And in the Shastras, the word sattvam, that is used in the meaning of the mind. For example, in the Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter, abhayam sattvasam shuddhihi jnana yoga jnana yoga jnana yoga vyavastitihi danam damascha yajnascha swadhyayastapa arjavam. So fearlessness, abhayam, purity of mind, sattvasam samshuddhihi, wise by appointment, jnana yoga of knowledge, and concentration, dhanam, self-control, mind control, study of the scriptures, yajnascha, swadhyayam, austerity, all those things, it mentions about all that. And here, how can sattvam refer to the mind here? Sattva samshuddhihi. It is convention in sutra, in the shastras, that a word in the meaning of a cause is used in the meaning of the effect also. A word in the meaning of the cause is used in the meaning of the effect also. So he says, avyaktam has the meaning of karana shariram, and it can be used in the meaning of sthula shariram also. Therefore, karana shariram is avyaktam, and by implication, it is sthula shariram, physical body only. This is the meaning given in the sutra and not in Kathopanishad. We should be careful. This is the meaning given by Vyasacharya and the sutra, and I told you it's also mischievous. And one more problem is also there. And we accept avyaktam as sthula shariram Vedantins, because Vyasacharya has given the sutra. So in the graded hierarchy, how can sthula shariram be subtler than indriyam? Manas and buddhi and all that. Yes, sthula physical body cannot be subtler than all these. For that we answer, karana shariram and sthula shariram are same only ultimately. And by implication, it is turned to karana shariram. Thus, avyaktam is sthula shariram only. Even though sthula shariram is gross, but its potent form, its dormant form is karana shariram. So by implication, we can take it as physical body, sthula shariram itself. This is the meaning of the sutra. Now let us go to the word analysis. Sukshma. Sukshma means the body in the causal state is primarily meant by the word avyaktam here. So however, avyaktam refers to body in causal state only. And tad arhatvat, it is appropriate meaning of the word avyaktam. But what is the thing here? The body in causal state is primarily meant for avyaktam. The physical body only is implied. So the word sukshma means, it is not sukshma shariram, the body in causal state, the karana shariram. So avyakta shariram is directly talked about here. So tat arhatva. Tat means the avyakta, and avyakta shabdaha here. And arhaha means the appropriate meaning. And the karana shariram, it preserves the word avyakta. And the karana shariram is the primary meaning of the word avyaktam also here. And the implied meaning only is sthula shariram. And we are sthula shariram is revealed by implication only. So with this, the second sutra is also over. And let us go to the next sutra. This is the third sutra of the fourth section. Tathim adhinatvat arthavat. So the Mahat and Avyakta of the Kathopanishad, they do not refer to the Sankhya Tattvas. That is our argument. The Mahat and Avyakta, as mentioned in the Kathopanishad mantra that we read, they do not refer to the Sankhya Tattvas. And this is the argument in support of the first sutra of the Sadhikaranam. And we analyze the word Avyakta occurring in Kathopanishad mantra. And here, the Purva Pakshi is a Sankhya philosopher. And he claims Avyakta refers to Pradhanam Prakriti of Sankhya philosophy only, which is Jagat Karanam or Karana Prapancha. And we establish Avyakta is not Sankhya Pradhanam Jagat Karanam. And we gave in the first two sutras a peculiar meaning as Stula Sharira. As I told, it's a peculiar meaning. And admitted that Avyakta means Karana Prapancha or Karana Avastha, contextually. And this is the gist of the first two sutras. Now the Sankhyas, they continue their argument. They are not willing to give up. They accept that the word Avyakta in the 11th mantra, third section of Kathopanishad, first chapter, is Stula Shariram only by implication, okay, that Vedantins agree. That Avyakta means Karanavastha only. Okay. It is Karanavastha means what? The entire universe, Jagat Karana. So scriptures, they support Sankhya philosophy is their argument. Therefore, it should refer to Pradhanam only. So he will come back to Pradhanam only everywhere. Prakriti. So even if in this context, Avyakta would mean Stula Shariram, the physical body, there are so many places where Avyakta means Karana Prapancha only, causal universe. Lot of examples are given. For example, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in the first chapter, fourth section, seventh mantra, the Upanishad uses the word Avyakritam. All these words should be familiar to us because in Brihadaranyaka, we use this word very liberally. Many places, Avyakritam, Karana Prapancha refers to Taddedam Tarhim, Avyakritam Asitim, Tannama Rupa Bhyam Evam Vyakriyatasau Namayam Idagum Rupa Iti. And in the Bhagavad Gita also, in the Akshara Brahma Yoga 8th chapter, Lord Krishna says, Avyakta Avyaktaya Sarvaha Prabhavantyaka Ragame Ratriya Game Praliyante Tatraiva Avyakta Sanyake. So in Sankhya, Avyakta refers to Karana Prapancha. And Shruti and Smriti also support. We gave quoted a mantra from Shruti, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Veda, and also from Smriti, namely Bhagavad Gita. So for this, the answer is given in this sutra. It brings out one of the main differences between Sankhya and Vedanta. In fact, because of this primary difference alone, Vedanta is called Advaitam and Sankhya is called Dvaitam. This primary difference is shown in this sutra, interesting sutra. Now, we do accept the word Avyaktam refers to Karana Prapancha, causal universe. In Kathopanishad 1.3.1, first chapter, third section, 11th mantra, Avyakta means Stula Shariram and it is only meant as a Samanyartha. It is basic matter or basic energy, and we do accept in Sankhya philosophy also. Karana Prapancha is basic matter, and we use common words in both. Sankhya also uses the word Avyakritam, Pradhanam, and Avyaktam, Mula Prakriti. They are all used to mean Karana Prapancha. And they say Prakriti is Jagat Karanam. Prakriti or Pradhanam is Jagat Karanam. We also say Prakriti is Jagat Karana. Then what is the dissimilarity between us? When we say Prakriti or Maya is Jagat Karanam, it is the secondary version. Our primary teaching is Brahman is Jagat Karanam. The Karanam of the universe is Brahman. But when we say Prakriti or Maya is Jagat Karanam, it is only a secondary version. This Chetana Karana Vada, we are coming back to that only. The Chetana Karana Vada of the Vedantin is the primary teaching of the Upanishad. We give two reasons to support our argument. that Chaitanyam alone is Jagat Karanam, Chaitanyam Brahman. And the first argument is, Brahman is that from which all are born, in which all of them, by which all of them sustain, and into which all are resolved. We know many number of quotations from Taittiriya Upanishad Bhrigavalli. Yato va ima nibhuta nijayante, ye najata nijivanti, yat prayantya visambishanti, tad vijignasasvat, tad brahmeti. So Brahman is defined as Jagat Karanam, and that is the foundation of Brahma Sutram itself. Vyasacharya presents Chetana Karanavada only as Vedanta's primary teaching. And in support of this argument, he quotes Taittiriya Upanishad, this first chapter, in the second section, the first Anuvaka. Tasmadva etasmad atmana akashas sambhutaha akashad vayuhu vayor agnihi agnerapaha adhya prithivi prithivya voshadayaha poshadibhyonnam annat purushaha. From that which is this Atman, Akasha is born. From Akasha, air is born. From air, fire. From fire, water. From water, earth. And from earth, all the herbs. From herbs, food. And from food, humans, living beings were born. This also reveals Atma is Chetana Jagat Karana. Only if Brahman is accepted as Karanam, Eka Vijnanena, Sarva Vijnanam of Mundaka Upanishad is possible. Karana Vijnanena, Samastam, Karya Vijnana Prapanchaha Bhavati. So if Prakriti is accepted as Karanam, and Eka Vijnanena Sarva Vijnanam will come, and Brahman need not be known at all. One has to own it up. This itself is going to be analyzed later. Because of this reason also, Brahman has to be accepted as the ultimate cause. In Sankhya, Achetana Prakriti is Jagat Karanam, and in Vedanta, Chetana Brahma is Jagat Karanam. This is the fundamental difference. And the second point is, when we accept Brahman as the Jagat Karanam, the first advantage is Shruti support is there. Vedas support it. Eka Vijnanena, Sarva Vijnanena. That principle is accepted. But at the same time, by knowing one, you know everything. By knowing the Karanam, all effects are known. I'm not translating all of them because we have used this many times. By knowing the cause, all effects are known. All karyas are known. But there's a problem. What is the problem? Shruti says, Brahman is Karya Karana Vilakshanam. To be a Karanam, it is beyond cause and effect. That's what Shruti says about Brahman. So to be a Karanam, it has to undergo a change. But Brahman is not subject to any modification. We have seen it so many places. How can Brahma Karanavada is possible when Brahman is not subject to any change or modification? Further, we point out, Brahman has got what is known as the Shakti. Brahman alone is Jagat Karanam, and Kevalam Brahman cannot be Jagat Karanam. Kevalam means only Brahman. Brahman alone cannot be Jagat Karanam. Brahman requires Shakti to be Jagat Karanam. And that Shakti is called Maya or Avidya in Vedanta. So the difference between Sankhya and Vedanta is Prakriti is the cause of the universe according to Sankhya and according to Vedanta also. Prakriti is not the cause of the world, but Prakriti is the Shakti of Brahman with which it becomes the Jagat Karanam according to Vedantians. And the second difference is Prakriti is independent entity in Sankhya. But in Vedanta, Prakriti is a Shakti depending on Brahman. The Shaktiman is Brahman. This is the second point to be noted. So Prakriti is a dependent principle with Brahman being independent, except Brahman is a Sakshi, a witness by which it is Jagat Karana. By being a witness, it is Jagat Karana. Shakti is resting with Brahman, and Shakti also must be eternal as Brahman. Then the question will be what? How do you talk about Advaitam here? There are two eternals. There is only Dvaitam, Brahman and Brahma Shakti or Maya, this is anatta. So even if you say Shakti is part of Brahman, then Brahman will have parts and will be subject to what? Swagata Bedaha. We have seen all that. We have talked about the three types of Vedas, differences. Sajatiya Veda, Vijatiya Veda, Swagata Vedas. Internal differences is Swagata Veda. Brahman will have Swagata Veda if it has parts. Also, according to Vedanta, Brahman is substance, is substantial, the substance of everything. And Brahman has Shakti. Then how can we talk about a Nirgunam Brahman if you say Brahman has Shakti? Anantaha, we do accept. How do you then talk about Nirgunam Brahman? Shakti continues even during Pralaya. It is eternally present with Brahman. So even though both are real, one is eternally real. Which is eternally real? Brahman is eternally real, and the other, namely Maya, is eternally unreal. One is paramarthikam and another is vyavaharikam. Jnanam knows eternal Brahman and eternal Maya. Jnani will accept the eternal Brahman and eternal Maya, but he will not count Maya as real. Because of Maya, I have everything. Experientially, I count Maya, but will not count it really. It should not be counted along with Brahman is the realization of Brahman. Even after losing its countability, Maya does not lose its experienceability. For example, the sunrise, it has lost its reality, but it has not lost its experienceability. We experience sunrise every day, even though it's not real. Maya or Prakriti is mithya for Vedanta. And for Sankhya, Prakriti is Swatantram, independent. This is the general analysis and the important difference between Sankhyas and Vedanta. Now we will go to the word analysis. This sutra is what? Tat adhinatvat arthavat. Being dependent on Brahman, avyaktam is not independent pradhanam of Sankhya. That is the meaning of the sutra. Arthavat. Arthavat means it is purposeful also. Arthavat, it is purposeful. Avyaktam is purposeful. That is, dependent avyaktam is purposeful also. Tat adhinatvat. Tadadhinatvat is a compound word, two words, tad plus adhinatvat. Tad means tad refers to Brahman here. And adhinatvam refers to dhinatvam. It's dependent. Tadadhinatvat means because of Brahman dependence. That means what? Vedantin's avyaktam has got Brahman dependence. But Sankhya's avyaktam is independent. And hence, our avyaktam is different from Sankhya's avyaktam. And the words are similar. And the concepts are dissimilar. Arthavat means it is purposeful. That is, avyaktam is purposeful. Maya is purposeful. And Shankaracharya explains, avyakta is purposeful in what way? He explains that also. In Sankhya philosophy, avyakta is taken as Jagat Karana. In Vedanta, avyakta is purposeful in making Brahma the Jagat Karana. In Sankhya philosophy, avyakta is Jagat Karana by itself. Whereas in Vedanta, avyakta is purposeful in making Brahman the Jagat Karana. Avyakta is only an assistant of Brahman, we can say. It is like the, Swamiji gives an example, it is like the wife of the olden days. All the glory goes to the husband only, but she does all the work and she is the one who is going through. So avyakta is purposeful not for creating but for assisting. And Brahma Karanatva Siddhyartham Avyaktam Arthavat Bhavati. And it does not have independent existence that we mentioned already. So our avyaktam does not have Swatantara Satta. Unlike the Pradhanam of Sankhya. For Sankhya's Pradhanam Prakriti is Swatantra. For us, it is not. Let us go to the next sutra, fourth sutra. Nyeyatva Avachanacha. జ్ఞేయత్వం అవచనాచ్చ ఫోర్త్ సూత్ర. దిస్ ద 110th రన్నింగ్ సూత్ర బ్రహ్మసూత్ర. సో ది ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్ ఇన్ సపోర్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫస్ట్ సూత్ర దిస్ అధికరణం ఇస్ కంటిన్యూడ్ హియర్. సో లెట్ అస్ డు ద జనరల్ అనాలిసిస్ ఫస్ట్. అగైన్ దర్ ఇస్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్ హియర్ ఆల్సో. వ్యాసాచార్య సేస్ ఇన్ సాంఖ్య ఫిలాసఫీ పురుష అండ్ అవ్యక్తం బోత్ ఆర్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ అండ్ బోత్ హ్యావ్ ఇండిపెండెంట్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్. అవ్యక్తం ఇన్ సాంఖ్య మీన్స్ ప్రకృతి అండ్ బోత్ హ్యావ్ ఇండిపెండెంట్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ అండ్ సో దే బిలీవ్ ఇన్ ద్వైతం. ఆల్ ఆర్ ద్వైతం ఎక్సెప్ట్ వేదాంతిస్. ఇన్ఫాక్ట్ విశిష్టాద్వైతం ఆల్సో ఇస్ ద్వైతం వల్ల. సో టు అటైన్ మోక్ష వన్ షుడ్ నో బోత్ పురుష అండ్ ప్రకృతి డిస్టింక్ట్లీ అండ్ నౌ వీ నో దెమ్ ఇన్ ఎ జనరల్ మ్యానర్. అండ్ ద సాంఖ్య ఫిలాసఫీ గివ్స్ ద్వైత వస్తు జ్ఞాన్ దట్ ఈస్ పురుష అండ్ ప్రకృతి బోత్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ గివ్స్ ద నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ బోత్. వన్ షుడ్ నో క్లియర్లీ బోత్ పురుష అండ్ ప్రకృతి అండ్ ఆల్సో ద డిఫరెన్స్ వన్ షుడ్ నో క్లియర్లీ. అండ్ ఇన్ సాంఖ్య బోత్ పురుష అండ్ ప్రకృతి షుడ్ బి నోన్. ఇన్ వేదాంత పురుష అలోన్ షుడ్ బి నోన్. వి ఓన్లీ సే బ్రహ్మ విజ్ఞానేన మోక్ష. బై నోయింగ్ బ్రహ్మన్ వన్ గెట్స్ మోక్ష. వి డోంట్ సే మాయ విజ్ఞానేన మోక్ష. కేవల బ్రహ్మ విజ్ఞానేన ఏవ మోక్ష. దర్ఫోర్ సాంఖ్య అండ్ వేదాంత దే డిఫర్. దేర్ అవ్యక్తం ఇస్ జ్ఞేయం అండ్ ఇన్ వేదాంత అవ్యక్తం షుడ్ బి డిస్మిస్డ్ అండ్ వి షుడ్ చేంజ్ టు పురుష. మహతః పరం అవ్యక్తం అవ్యక్తాత్ పురుష పరః. దట్ ఇస్ వాట్ ది కఠోపనిషత్ మంత్ర వి రెడ్. సో యాస్ ఈవెన్ యు గో టు హయ్యర్ స్టేజెస్ ప్రీవియస్ స్టేజెస్ షుడ్ బి నెగేటెడ్ అవ్యక్తం ఇస్ నాట్ అన్ ఎండ్ బట్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ ఎ మీన్స్ టు రీచ్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఇన్ వేదాంత. అవ్యక్తం ఆల్సో షుడ్ బి నోన్ దో. దర్ఫోర్ అవ్యక్తం ఇస్ ఈక్వల్లీ ఇంపార్టెంట్. ఫర్ దట్ వి సేమ్ ఇఫ్ బోత్ ఆర్ ఈక్వల్లీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ద నెక్స్ట్ మంత్ర విల్ నాట్ బి దేర్ అట్ ఆల్. దర్ ఇస్ నో నీడ్ ఫర్ ద నెక్స్ట్ మంత్ర. వాట్ ఈస్ దాట్ ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ మంత్ర ది ఉపనిషత్ సేస్ వాట్ పురుషాన్న పరం కించిత్ సా కాష్ట సా పరాగతి. 11th మంత్ర థర్డ్ సెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫస్ట్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఉపనిషత్ వి రెడ్ దిస్ మంత్ర. పురుషాత్ నా పరం కించిత్ సా కాష్ట సా పరాగతి. టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ ఇన్ వేరియస్ స్టేజెస్ ఇన్ 1.3.10 దట్ మంత్ర అండ్ 1.3.11 ఆఫ్ కఠోపనిషత్ ఇట్ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ మహత్ అవ్యక్తం అండ్ పురుష. అండ్ ఫైనలీ ఇట్ సేస్ యూ షుడ్ నో బ్రహ్మన్. ఏషు సర్వేషు భూతేషు గూఢోత్మాన ప్రకాశతే దృశ్యతే త్వగ్రియయా బుద్ధ్యా సూక్ష్మయా సూక్ష్మదర్శిభిః. ఈవెన్ దో ఆల్ ద బీయింగ్స్ ఆర్ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ ఏషః దాట్ బ్రహ్మన్ అలోన్ షుడ్ బి నోన్ ఫైనలీ. ఏషః పురుషః దృశ్యతే. అండ్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు షార్పన్ యువర్ మైండ్ త్వగ్రియయా బుద్ధ్యా సూక్ష్మయా. దట్ ఇస్ హౌ వి కెన్ నో. దిస్ ఈస్ ద సెకండ్ డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ ది అవ్యక్తం ఆఫ్ సాంఖ్య ఫిలాసఫీ అండ్ ది వేదాంత అవ్యక్తం. నౌ వి విల్ గో టు ద వర్డ్ అనాలిసిస్. జ్ఞేయత్వ అవచనాచ్చ దట్ ఇస్ ద సూత్ర. హియర్ చ అవచనాచ్చ దట్ చ మీన్స్ మోర్ ఓవర్ ఇన్ అడిషన్. అండ్ జ్ఞేయత్వ అవచనాత్ మీన్స్ సిన్స్ అవ్యక్తం ఈస్ నాట్ మెన్షన్డ్ అవచనాత్ నాట్ మెన్షన్డ్ as something to be known nyayatva. So avyaktam is not pradhanam of sankhya. Sankhya is not sankhya's pradhanam in this sutra. And then this is the word meaning of the sutra. First let us do the nyayatva av nyayatva vachanat. It's a compound word. Nyayatva means the knowability of a thing to be known. For what? For moksha, for liberation. In sankhya prakriti is to be known. And in Vedanta, Brahman is to be known for liberation. Avachanat means not mentioned. So if we literally translate, what happens? Because of the non-mention of the knowability of Avyaktam, Avyaktam is not Pradhan. Because it is not mentioned, Avyaktam is not Pradhan. Chaya means conjunction, because this sutra gives another reason. In addition to the previous sutra, avyaktam is not Brahma. And Sankhya claimed avyaktam is unmanifest form of universe. That which is not revealed by sense organs is called avyaktam. Whatever is not revealed by sense organs is what is apratyaksham. It is not pratyaksham. And it can be known by anumanam only, by inference only. This world must have been in potential form before manifestation. Sankhya also says the same thing when they say about avyaktam. Avyaktam is common both to the Sankhyas and Vedantins. Sankhya says their philosophy has Veda Pramanam also. No doubt, avyaktam reveals unmanifest matter and the universe. Up to this part, we don't have any disagreement with Sankhyas. Only with regard to the status of avyaktam, we have a problem. For them, the basic matter is Swatantram, independent. Basic causal matter, namely the Prakriti Pradhanam, is independent. And it has independent existence, which means the consciousness has a separate reality. And that means there are two parallel realities. One is matter and the other one is spirit. Purusha, we can call it spirit. Purusha and Prakriti. Sankhya is exactly in the middle between science and philosophy. The consciousness depends on matter, and that is why they say consciousness is the phenomenon of the brain. In Vedanta, it is the other way around. Consciousness is independent and matter depends upon consciousness. That's the difference between Vedanta and science. Sankhya says, why one should depend upon other? And they say, two independent realities good. Prakriti is independent matter. Purusha is independent consciousness. Why should have dependence on each other at all? So if you use avyaktam, you refer to independent matter. And when Vedanta uses avyaktam, we talk of dependent matter. Tat adhinatvat. So chaitanya adhinam is matter. This is why your philosophy does not have Vedic support. And in Sankhya, the matter and spirit, they enjoy equal importance. As I told you earlier, moksha requires the knowledge of both. One requires prakriti jnanam and also purusha jnanam in Sankhya. Jnayatvam is common to both. The necessity of the knowledge of both is required for both. In Vedanta, we say brahma jnanatvat mokshaha. By knowing Brahman, one gains moksha. Maya is not a thing to be known, but a thing to be rejected as avidya in Vedanta. Maya has to be rejected as avidya. We use Maya as a stepping stone to reach Brahman. And we should reject Maya after reaching Brahman. Mahat, and superior to that is avyaktam. And superior to that avyaktam is Brahman. And in the 12th mantra of Kathopanishad, what did it say? Yesha sarveshu bhuteshu gudotmana prakashate drishyate tvagriyaya buddhyam sukshmayam sukshmadarshibihi. This Atman, hidden in all beings, it reveals itself not to all, but it is seen only by the seers of the subtle intellect, sharp, subtle intellect, buddhya, sukshmaya, sukshmadarshibihi. This Purusha Tattvam, this Chaitanya Tattvam is hidden in everyone. And this hidden Purusha, Chaitanya Tattvam has to be known only by a subtle intellect. One should know the Purusha to gain moksha. That is what the Upanishad says. One should not stop with knowing Mahat and Purusha. And one should ultimately realize Purusha, which is nothing but Brahman. That is what the Vedantins say. So Veda does not talk about avyaktam as a thing to be known. The avyaktam is said, but it is meant here for Brahman only to be known. Let's go to the next sutra. Vadaditi chete na pragyohi prakaranat. Vadaditi chete na pragyohi prakaranat. Fifth sutra. First chapter, fourth section, fifth sutra, 111th Brahma Sutra. So the Mahat and the Avyakta of the Kathopanishad, they do not refer to the Sankhya Tattvas. That's what we are establishing. An objection to Sutra 4, the previous Sutra, is raised and it is refuted here. First, we will do the general analysis. The Sankhya philosopher is not ready to give up. He will not give up. We said, avyaktam is not enough to be known for getting liberation. Just by knowing avyaktam, you cannot get liberation. Avyakta is not presented to be known for liberation also. And the Sankhya philosopher says, who says so? He says, you don't know how to study Veda properly. He says, avyaktam is an object of knowledge and it also presents that knowledge, a liberating knowledge. We ask them where it is said. And he says, there are quotations. In Kathopanishad itself, first chapter, third section, 15th mantra, ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, avyayam, tatarasam, nityam, agandavatchat, nityam, gandavacham, agandavachayate, anadhyanantam, mahataparam dhruvam, nichaya tanmrityuhu, mukhat, pramuchyate. This is an often quoted mantra. We have quoted this earlier also. So this is a very important mantra also. And this is in the hands of whom? This important mantra is in the hands of the Sankhyas. He says, avyaktam is prakriti only. We say, it talks about Purusha, Brahman. He says, avyaktam only, prakriti. So every description tallies with avyaktam, the unmanifest universe in this particular mantra, which we call prakriti. It is ashabdam, asparsham, avyayam. It is nityam because in pralaya kale, it is in unmanifest form. It is anadi, anantam. And the crucial word is mahataparam. That is the word used in this mantra. That means it is beyond mahat. Whereas the 11th mantra, that's 1.3.11, Kathopanishad says what? Mahataparam avyaktam avyaktat purushaparaha. And in the 15th mantra, third section, first chapter, Kathopanishad also talks about prakriti or pradhanamun. And not only Veda commands to know about avyaktam, but also by knowing that one will transcend mortality and will get moksha. Mrityu mukhat mucchyate says. Therefore, Sankhya philosophy is the correct interpretation. This is what Purvapakshi Sankhya says. Veda does talk about avyaktam, that one should be known. And Vyasacharya gives the answer in the second part of this sutra. He says, 1.3.15 of Kathopanishad talks about Purusha alone and not avyaktam, the prakriti. It talks about Purusha, the conscious principle. And if you study the flow of the Upanishads, Upanishadic teaching, then you will come to know it talks about Purusha, Brahman only. In the 11th mantra of Kathopanishad, it talks about Mahat, avyaktam and Brahman, that we already read. In the 12th mantra, it talks about Atma, Purushaha, and not avyaktam at all. So this Atma should mean Purusha only and not avyaktam. Then the 13th mantra talks about Atma only and how can one know it by resolving everything. It talks about that also in the 13th mantra of Kathopanishad, third section. So each one is resolved into the next superior one in stages and ultimately all of them will resolve into Atma or Brahman, the Purusha. And the 14th mantra says, it is not easily understood. Atma jnanam is like walking on a race's edge. So all the mantras, three mantras in succession, they all talk about Atma jnanam only. And the 15th mantra should also talk about only Atma jnanam. How can it talk about avyaktam? Then that is the evolution. Therefore, asparsham, avyayam and all those things refer to Atma alone and not avyaktam. If he talks about Purusha, how does it use the expression mahataparam? Superior to mahat is avyaktam and superior to avyaktam is Brahman only. So Purusha can be said to be mahataparam and superior to mahataham is Brahman alone. Then two more arguments are also given. In all Vedic mantras, we talk of Brahmajnanat moksha only. By knowing Brahman only, one can gain moksha. And we don't find prakriti jnanat moksha anywhere. That is by knowing prakriti, maya, pradhana. And Kathopanishad talks of atma jnanam alone as a means of moksha. And the third and the final argument is, let us assume that the Kathopanishad mantra 1.3.15 that we read, it talks about prakriti or pradhana only. And the last line of the mantra, what does it say? Knowing that prakriti, one gets moksha. If you think that is prakriti is what it is talking about, then it says by knowing that one gets moksha. That will be the meaning of that mantra, 15th mantra, third section, first chapter. even if that be the meaning of the mantra, even if you give that, it does not talk of Sankhya philosophy, because Sankhya philosophy never says prakriti jnanat mokshaha. It does not talk about Sankhya philosophy at all. So this is the general analysis. Now let us go to the word analysis of the mantra. Vadati. Vadati means the Shruti, Veda, speaks. It talks of avyaktam, something to be known. Where? In Kathopanishad, first chapter, third section, 15th mantra. This is the quotation of the Sankhya philosopher. Iti chet, if it is argued in this manner, na, it is not. It is not so. Prajna hi purushaha. Is indeed, he means is indeed, spoken of Kathopanishad in 1.3.15. Prakaranat, because that is the topic there. So vadati, it is said by the Sankhya philosopher. So avyaktasya jnayatvam bhavati iti chete na. We have seen this meaning. So prajna is used in the sutra in the meaning of nirgunam brahman only. Here prajna means chaitanya. Then he means nihai, he is emphasis. So the previous and later portions always decide the topic. So the context is atma jnanam and not prakriti jnanam. That is what is mentioned here. Then let us go to the next sutra. Trayanam eva chaivam upanyasaham prashnascha. Trayanam eva chaivam upanyasaha prashnascha. Fourth sutra, fourth section, first chapter, 112th Brahma Sutra. So the objection raised in the sutra 5, previous sutra, is further refuted here. First, let us do the general analysis. This is more an elaboration of the previous sutra only. The context where the Vyasa explains here. And this can be also interpreted in two ways. One is, actually, Swamiji has his own interpretation. This is a simpler one. When you study the context, then we find the entire Kathopanishad is the answer to the three questions asked by Nachiketas to Yama Dharmaraja. What is the first one he wanted? The boon? Father's peace of mind. Shanta Sankalpaha Sumana Yata Syat. So Kirabita Manyahu. So all these things he is asking in the first one. And the second, the in the next 11th mantra, the answer is given. Yata Purastat Bhavita Pratitam Addaulal Adda Uddalaki Arunihim Mat Prasrishtaha. So he is telling the ritual. And the ritual for attaining heaven, the question was asked again in 13th mantra. Sattvamagnim swargyamadyeshim mrityoho prabruhi. So how to get swargaloka? And the answer was given in the 15th mantra. Lokadi magnim tamuvacha tasmai, in that mantra. That mantra talked about the answer for that. And for Atma Jnanam, which he asked, Nachiketas asked twice in the 20th mantra of the first section and the 14th mantra of the second section of the first chapter. Yeyam prate vichikitsa manushye astityeke nayam astiti chaike. So this in that mantra and the next mantra in the second section of the 14th chapter, 14th mantra second section, anyatra dharmata, anyatra adharmata, anyatra asmatrita kritatam, anyatra bhuta chabhavyacham, ettat pashyati tadvadam. That is what he asked to Yama Dharmaraja. So the third question that is answered in the rest of the Upanishad, Kathopanishad. So this is the substance of Kathopanishad. We know the story. So what happens to Atma after death? That's the question. And Yama Dharmaraja answers, what happens to the ignorant one and to the wise one? What happens to an ignorant person and what happens to the wise person, he says. This was elaborately discussed. And the three questions deal with father's peace of mind, an Agni ritual to gain heaven, and thirdly, to gain Atma Jnana. Nowhere Yama Dharmaraja did answer anything about Pradhanam at all in his answers. There is no pradhana vishaya or question. Prakriti is not talked about as a Sankhya style. This is a simple approach which Swamiji gives. Now we will see what Vyasacharya gives. And Shankaracharya, how he does it in the Bhashya. When the sutra talks about three questions, which deals with one, a ritual for reaching heaven, that is the Nachiketagni ritual. And the second one is the Jivatma is question number two. So question about the ritual. Second question is about Jivatma, and the third question is about Paramatma. So father's peace of mind is not taken into account at all by Vyasacharya or Shankaracharya. So the 20th mantra of first section, first chapter, that is the question about Jivatma, and the answer for that is given in the second chapter, second section, seventh mantra. Yoni manye prapadyante shariratvaya dehinaham sthanu manyona samyanti yata karma yata shrutam. Some souls, they enter the womb to have another body, punarapi jananam, punarapi, that cycle. Others go to the plants just according to their karma and according to their knowledge. And the question two was whether the jivatma dies or not, what happens to that? That was the question. Further, the Upanishad answers that it takes rebirth. That's the answer. And the third question was about Paramatma, and most of the Kathopanishad is all about Paramatma only. Whether you take those three, Swamiji's three questions answers, or these three, Vyasacharya, Shankaracharya, there is nothing talked about Pradhana. And Shankaracharya talks about the complication that he elaborates now. This is the general analysis of the sutra. Now we'll see the word analysis. Evam, evam means similarly. Prashnaha means question. And Upanyasahacha means the answers. And then Prayanam evam, with respect to three topics only, they are found here. And cha means there are two chakaras here. Therefore, pradhanam is not mentioned here at all anywhere in the sutra. And cha means what? Therefore, that therefore is also one meaning. Pradhanam is not mentioned and is to be, that has to be supplied. So trayanam eva. Trayanam means three topics are talked about, only they are talked about. And what are the three topics? Swamiji took father's peace of mind, Jivatma, Paramatma. Shankaracharya takes Swarga ritual, Jivatma, Paramatma. That doesn't matter what detail. And Prashnaha means questions. And Upanyasaha means the answer. So evam, by topic analysis, by studying the context, we come to know three questions and three answers are there. But pradhanam or prakriti is not mentioned anywhere. Now let us mention the complication here. The Purvapakshi asks, is Jivatma and Paramatma identical or separate according to you? And either way, you are in trouble. If you say Jivatma and Paramatma are identical, then you cannot count as three questions. It will be only two questions. Therefore, you are in trouble. Then if you say Jivatma and Paramatma are separate, then I will ask you the question, and how many boons did Yama Dharmaraja give? Three boons were given. One is father's peace of mind, second is Swarga ritual, and third is either Jivatma or Paramatma. So if he says Jivatma, then how can Yama Dharmaraja talk about Paramatma, which is not included in the boon? And if you say third boon is Jivatma, how did him talk about Paramatma and vice versa, which is not in the boon? So Purvapakshi argues, if you say he talked about Paramatma, which is not in the boon, then I will say that he included Pradhanam also, which is not in the boon. This is how he comes from. If you say Paramatma is not included in the boon in the answer, then I will say Pradhanam is also not included, but that's what it's meant. It's an interesting argument, which we'll see more in tomorrow's class. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya pragnyasya parasamaheshwarah asti krishna purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnamah shanti shanti shanti.